Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode. On behalf of Disciple City, I'm Todd Carlton, and this is the Toddcast. Guys, we are now on YouTube. Episodes are being uploaded weekly. Please like and subscribe. Subscribe wherever you're listening to help get the powerful testimonies of our guests out there. And follow us along on Instagram at the Toddcast _DAC. Friends, Disciple City exists to equip Christians with simple tools on how to share the gospel and how to cultivate a kingdom culture lifestyle. This year, we're doing an evangelism initiative called the 100K Harvest. We aim to see 100,000 Canadians hear the gospel message face to face. If you're in Canada, we would love for you to participate in this. All the information, including an app you can download to track your gospel shares and what's going on in the rest of the country, is available at our website at discipleofcity.ca. The app is packed with everything you need, including an events page for local evangelistic blitz days happening in your area, a way to connect with local leaders to help you meet up with people in your area, and resources of all the simple tools for evangelism. This app is also available en français pour mes amis in la belle province de Québec. Friends, my guest today is originally from the Australian island of Tasmania. She attended uni in the beautiful Sunshine Coast. She completed the CFAN boot camp in the USA and is currently dividing her time over the last 6 years between Germany and the Ukraine. She's part of what I talk about here all the time, which is the United Hive. And she's a missionary with Awakening Europe. Please welcome Rachel Wilcox. Hello.
Hello, Todd.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you for the intro. That's quite fun.
Did I nail it? Did I nail all the particulars?
Yes, good job.
Thank you. It's very nice to meet you, and I'm glad we could make this work because we've been looking to try to connect for quite a long time, and finally we made it. Hey.
Yes, we made it. Thank you for your patience and for having me.
No problem. I heard your story is very powerful. So we really want to have you on. So Rachel, lots of stuff in there. I know a bunch of people that did the CFAN thing. Our ministry is connected with Ben and Awakening Europe. So that's exciting. And of course, the United Hive app, good friends with Gabriel Jackson, who, as I shared with you, has been on the show a bunch of times, and we support the United Hive and vice versa. And so just a lot of great connections. But Rachel, to capture your testimony, I'd really love to just start at the beginning and just in Tasmania and in Australia, what life was like for you as a kid. Were you a Christian background, or did you grow up in the faith, or what was that like for you when you were young?
Yeah, so I didn't grow up in a Christian family, but when I was 20 years old, I had an encounter with God, and that's when Jesus saved me. And so for 19 years now, I've followed Jesus, and yeah, he radically changed my life. Yes.
So what could you share with us, what was that encounter like for you? Where were you at, and what was that encounter like? Was it something that you were seeking? Is it something that just did he pursue? We know he pursues us, but was he pursuing you, or what did that look like?
So I was invited to go to church, and I had an understanding of God. Like my parents are amazing. They're good people. I didn't really have an understanding of who God was until really I would spend time with my auntie, who was a Christian. And also there was a religious education program through my school, and I got given a Bible. And so those were seeds in my life around 13, 14, where things really started to change for me. I started to sense that there was a God and that something's real, and I would occasionally read the Bible. And I then went through years in my teens where I really rebelled and ran away from home and started smoking drugs and partying and got into a bad place mentally, and was just in in the wrong crowds, and I all the time knew that my life was not pleasing to God. And if I was going to give my life to God or follow Him, whatever I understood it at the time, that I would need to completely transform my life, or that it would have to look completely different. So that's a bit of backstory and context where I was at when I encountered God. So I was in the party scene and drugs and nightclubs and going from relationship to relationship, and I was invited to church, and I didn't want to be there. I thought, I'm just going to go to make this person happy. And I was right up the back of the room, and I was hungover from the night before, and I just thought, I cannot wait for this to be over. But then it was a Pentecostal church in Australia, and so they were raising their hands in worship, and I thought, this is different. This is not just music. There's something here. There's a presence here. And that gripped my heart, and I started to pay attention. Nobody was around me. I hadn't heard the gospel, like the full gospel, even though I had that understanding, which I don't know where that came from, whether it was about the repentance part. But I had nobody saying to me, you need to pray a prayer, give your life to Jesus, or something like this. I was standing in the back of the church, and in this moment where I then started to think something's different here, my next thought was, maybe God is real. Maybe there really is a God. And then in that moment, Todd, that's where everything changed. God revealed Himself to me. That's the only way I can describe it. He, by His grace, He revealed Himself to me, and in a moment which felt like it lasted for 5, 10 minutes, my eyes were open to the reality of God, that He loves me, that all these things, this lifestyle that I'm living is feeling, trying to fill this emptiness, this void in my soul that only He can fill. And I just knew that He was real. I felt the presence of God, the tangible presence of God, so, so strong. The only connection that I had in my brain was, this feels like the best drugs that I've ever had, like, but times 100. I had no grid for what was happening. And I knew in that moment as well that, okay, God is real now. The most obvious thing for me is to follow Him. And so I left church completely different in my mind and my understanding of God and myself, and I started going to church. I rocked up to church the following week on my own. I heard there was a youth service, and at 20, it's a little bit blurry, but it was some time between 20 and 21 that I really just started following Jesus. I got baptized, and I since the beginning as well just started telling people about Jesus. I didn't know what an evangelist was. I didn't know what you should and shouldn't do. I was just telling all my friends, God is real. They could see the change in me. They started coming to church with me, and I had a messy conversion. I was a mess. But I was so hungry for the Lord, and I'm so thankful He saved my life.
Amen.
And so I really have to finish that by saying he set me free from addiction, from depression, from anxiety, from all those things that were that emptiness that I felt. He really came and healed my heart and filled me with peace and joy and love and hope, and gave me a real sense of purpose and vision for my life since the very, very beginning of my conversion. So I'm really thankful to God, and for saving my life. And it's really special to be able to share your testimony. It's a good reminder of what Jesus has done in my life.
It's so, I mean, they're all powerful, but it's so powerful. I just love, I'm smiling as you're sharing it, because of all the things, right, sitting at the back of the church, hungover, but it just speaks to the truth of the Lord, right, of just come as you are, just you're invited to the table, just come, and you're wanting to go. As soon as you said that, I just want to get out of here. It's like you know something's going to happen, because the Lord's not letting you go, right? Was this in the Sunshine Coast when you were going to university?
That was Tasmania. So I grew up in Tasmania, beautiful island off Australia. And then I moved to the Sunshine Coast, where I lived for 6 years before moving to Europe.
That's wild. And so you moved to Sunshine Coast, went to school. And so, well, first of all, how did your family... Similar for me, I came to faith later in life, so not as a kid. So what's the right word? I relate to your immediate passionate desire to share with everybody, right? Because it's so real, like the encounter is so real. You just want to share. So how did that go with your family when you shared with your aunt? Must have been super excited if she had brought you to church a couple times. But how were your parents and your family, people super close to you? How did that work?
It was and it has been a mixed response, but overall my family are quite supportive, even though most of them would not call themselves a Christian. But they're respectful. Yeah, and I've been called crazy. I've been called, you're too much, you know, a bit of a Jesus freak at this. But my family love me and I love them. So I have to say, yeah, it wasn't, they saw the change in me, and in general, they're happy that, in their own words, they're happy that I found something that makes me happy. And they have seen me change before their eyes. And I think they're just thankful, because what I didn't mention in that part is that I was had suicidal depression. Like, I was severely ill mentally and was in hospital 5 times from suicide attempt. I was hospitalized, I think, 4 out of the 5 times. And I ended up at the final time in the psychiatric ward. So I was really unwell. I would hear voices in my head. I was a mess. When I say, like, I was really a mess. And so I think my parents were just happy that I'm not that girl anymore. And they cannot dispute the fact that God changed my life. Yes.
What do you think, you know, not to dive deep into past trauma stuff and stuff like that, but what do you think led to that depth of depression and stuff? I mean, you know, teenagers were, everybody's the same, it seems like, right? In different parts of the world, like, you're looking for your identity, the, you know, hormones and puberty and all that kind of stuff and whatnot. But what do you think led to that depth of where you ended up in that state?
I want to be careful how I word this, but I came from a broken family in the sense that my parents separated when I was very young, when I was three. And my biological mother, she left, and my father took care of me for a short, my brother and I for a short period of time. And then my amazing stepmother, she came into the picture, and my father and her fell in love and they got married. And yeah, life was not perfect, but yeah, they did their best. But I think nobody can be protected from trauma. And I definitely experienced, my perception, my personal experience of those early years, and my some of my childhood was really difficult. So I had a root of rejection was the main cause, and that's why when people say to me, oh, the kids are young, they won't know about the divorce, they're too young to understand. That's, for my case, it's not true. Like, it does affect a child. I think it was also just then the world and infiltrating my life. I started to be interested in new age things. I opened myself up to occult teaching and was, interested in the supernatural spiritual realm, but it was on the dark side. And that also opened me up to demons and to torment in my mind. And so I was, and then it snowballed. And so to come to a more clear answer is that some of it was from the things that happened to me, but then a lot of it was also my choices that I made out of my own brokenness and own stupid decisions as well. I'm not blameless. I was a sinner and still can sin. I'm not perfect. And so there were consequences of sin, put really, really simply.
And our stories parallel here and there, because I also came with the same thing. My parents split when I was young, and I would agree with you that kids might not understand, but they know it's a break. It's what it is, right? It's a breakup. It's a break. It's a fracture. So yeah, I totally am with you there. And it's fascinating, hey, that we look into things, or like you talk about just sort of dabbling in the occult. It's like, having a house party, which seems like a good idea at the time till you open the door and then people start coming in. And before you know it, it's out of control and you almost can't do anything about it. Hey.
Yeah. Yeah. This is very true. It's not funny, but your analogy is funny. Yes. Yes, it and then it just snowballed, and then you throw in then drugs and some really unhealthy relationships, and it's like the three circles explanation of the gospel, we're all living in the without Jesus, without in the sin circle, and the bungee cord that just brings you back into your brokenness and often worse. So, I think a lot for all of us, we're looking for meaning, we're looking for truth, for purpose, for love. And if we don't have it in front of us, then we'll make the wrong choices.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, we continue. We still have that choice for the rest of our life. And that's why really walking with Jesus is a daily decision, a daily choice.
So who brought you to church that time? I know you said that your auntie had brought you and stuff, but that particular day where you just wanted it to be over. I love that. It's so good. But who brought you that day?
The beautiful thing is it was actually my mother, who's my biological mother. So, yeah, she, at the moment, I'm not sure where she's at in her faith, but at that time she was really, she had had a conversion to Christ a couple of years before that. And it was her, it was my mother, that invited me to church.
You know, it just speaks to the importance of sharing the gospel, or even a simple invitation to somebody to come and hang out with you, right, at church, because you never know what's going to happen. And just, you know, an encouragement to those listening, even, you know, even if you don't have the answers, or even if somebody, I don't know, you never know what's going to happen, what the Lord's going to do when you extend an invitation, eh?
So true, Todd. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that my mom, she continued to ask me as well. And it was in a sense that, oh, okay, I'll come. Yeah, so, but even in that, God met me, like you said. He's so merciful. He's so kind.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so, what did you take at university? What led you to the Sunshine Coast, which I've never been, but I've seen pictures, and I'm afraid if I go, I may never leave. Because
it's stunning place. So my very first Christian friend, she was and is from the Sunshine Coast, or she lived there with her family, and she was just staying in Tasmania for a short period of time. And she essentially discipled me my first bit of in my the first I think it was at least a year of following Jesus. And she would always say to me, come to the Sunshine Coast, come stay with my family if you ever want to, if you never need to leave Tasmania, come. And fast forward a few, I don't know the exact time, but it was 2017. I was 20. I was 27, and then I so dates get I get muddled up in my head. So, and I was 27, and I had a vision. The Lord called me to study university, and so I applied at the University of the Sunshine Coast to do a Bachelor of Nutrition, and I got in, and so I moved to the Sunshine Coast, and that's actually really. It changed, was a life changing move in lots of ways, particularly spiritually, and I'm so thankful for that time that I had living there.
Because you connected with a bunch of Christian friends, what helped? Like, are you saying that it sort of boosted or increased your spirituality and connection with the Lord? Or
yes, it did. So I was in church in Hobart, Tasmania. I had great Christian friends, still connected with some of them, and had really, was involved and connected in some solid churches there, and also an evangelism ministry. But my time on the Sunshine Coast was, I would say, where I went from being the milk to the meat of my walk with God and my hunger for the Bible, and really, really maturing in my having my own faith. And it was a stripping back. It was really painful at first, but it changed something for me, in that I realized that I don't always have to feel God to know He's with me. There was just a deepening of my faith to align more with the scripture and what it really means to be a believer. And I met and still have really great friends there, beautiful group of Christians, and yeah, that also really became family as well. So I was immersed in a beautiful Christian family who I'm still close with, and that really changed things for me as well, that the environment. Yeah. And then it's pretty hard to be sad when it's sunny over 300 days of the year,
I
and
guess.
You live across the road from the beach, and there's palm trees, and yes, there's snakes and spiders, but it's beautiful, and I really love it there. That for me feels like home. When I think of Australia, there's my birth home, but then that for me is my, you know, my adult home. Yes.
You know what? Wherever there's crazy beauty, there's a price you got to pay for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in the Sunshine Coast and all the beauty that Australia is, I guess it comes with snakes and huntsman spiders.
Yes.
And if you're in the mountains here in Canada, in the West Coast, well, it comes with avalanches and grizzly bears. Like,
I couldn't do bears. I would rather have spiders. Yeah, that must be really scary.
Oh, bears are fluffy and nice.
Really?
Spiders, especially ones that are the size of a baseball mitt, are gross. And they hide. Bears don't hide.
That's true.
Well, they do, but when you see them, you know what's going on. Anyway. So, Rachel, how did you get connected with our good friend Gabriel Paul Jackson of the United Hive in Vancouver, Washington? A woman from Australia getting connected with the Hive. Did that happen while you were in Australia, or did that happen when you were in CFAN in the US, which I would assume was that in Florida?
Yes.
Another fantastic place, hey?
Orlando, yes. Beautiful.
Oh,
yes.
My gosh.
So I moved to Europe just over six years ago, and it was through Ben Fitzgerald, Pastor Ben Fitzgerald's assistant Sharon, had met Gabe and connected with him, and I just moved to Europe, and I had a social media business, management business, and yeah, we had a phone call, and he was like, "We're looking for somebody to manage our social media," and I said, "I would love that." And so, yeah, since then I've been doing that, and so I'm full-time missionary now in Ukraine, but I still have this role with United Hive, which I'm so grateful for, because it's for me, when you're working, when you do anything that I'm doing, and I think most of us are like this, we want to have purpose, and you know, like you're a firefighter, you're saving lives, you know, there's as well as evangelizing and seeing souls saved. Like, there's so it's so important to do things with purpose. And so I really enjoy working with United Hive, and Gabe's a great man. And so I think that, and I'm so thankful as well to be surrounded by these visionaries like Gabriel Paul Jackson and Ben Fitzgerald and others that I could name as well, that it have big vision, that have big faith, and I get to be a part of a small part of what God is doing in the globe. It's wild to think about.
Yeah, totally. And Gabriel, who will be listening, you better be listening to this episode, Gabriel. We love Gabriel Jackson. He's an awesome man. And friends, I've talked about that all the time. If you're listening to this episode the first time, the United Hive app looks like that. You should check that out. It's an app to share testimonies of all the things that you're seeing, pictures and videos and little descriptions of salvations and gospel shares and deliverance and baptisms and all that. So you should check that out. The United Hive app is available everywhere you get apps. And maybe we should keep Rachel on at the end of this podcast to get some tips on some social media things for the Toddcast. Hey.
I'm happy to share with you.
So 6 years ago, you moved to Europe. What was Obviously, so Ben Fitzgerald, friends, is also from Australia and has a heart for Europe and has moved to Europe, lives in Germany, and created this ministry called Awakening Europe, which Rachel, well, not coincidentally, but the director of our ministry here, Adam Shepsky, is friends with Ben Fitzgerald. And when Adam and I first met, we went to Awakening Scandinavia in Stockholm, Sweden. That's kind of the birth of what then became Disciple of City, but that's how I got connected with Adam and met Ben and Daniel. I'm sure, obviously, you know Daniel Hagen too and stuff like that. So that's the beginning there. But what brought you to Europe?
My grandfather was Irish, and so I have Irish citizenship through him as well as Australian, and I felt the call of God to move to Europe in 2018, and he spoke very clearly to me to leave Australia, to move to Europe. He said to me that I won't know where I'm going to live until I get there. So I left Australia. Oh, and I also knew that I would connect with an evangelism ministry based in Europe. And I look back and I was like, that was crazy. I re really believe it was a gift of faith from the Lord to be able to even do that. So fast forward then to 2019 in May, where I left Australia with my suitcase, just with the word from the Lord. And I attended Awakening Vienna, and then jump forward to August 2019, and I'm in Ladakh, Germany, visiting a friend who I had met just at Awakening Vienna, and she said, "Hey, I live in Germany, come and visit if you like." My parents love to host people, because she said, I would get the question, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "I'm just following the Lord. I don't know where I'm going to go, but he told me to come to Europe." And it was such a wild time in my life where I look back, that's really where God started to deliver me from control and trying to be in control of everything in every detail of my life. And anyway, so I go to Ladakh to visit who's still my friend, Maike, and she picks me up from the train station, and she said, "Oh, this is where Awakening Europe is based." And I was like, no, and this is, so I'm there and then I meet the team, and then long story short, I stay, and I'm in the community for a year and just serving, and I'm working, I have my business, and I'm adjusting to Europe life, European life. And I say this and really sincerely mean this, the easy part was leaving Australia, but staying in Europe for that first year when I didn't understand why I'm there, what I'm doing, it was really, really hard. And then COVID, it was also during COVID, and I thought, this is terrible. I think I've missed it. I think this is, or at least God, this feels terrible. This is not like I imagined. I thought that maybe I would end up on the coast of France or Italy, somewhere warm and sunny and beautiful, not in this cold place with all these rules, like cold temperature, and with so many rules that I don't understand, and the language is so hard, and this is so difficult. It was a really difficult time. And then a year later, I actually joined the Awakening Europe team. And yeah, things started to change for me. And so I've served with Pastor Ben and the team in Germany since 2020. And it's an honor and a joy to be part of this ministry that's doing amazing things for the Lord, or the Lord is doing amazing things through the ministry. So I was there when it was, there was at one point there was about 20 of us, and we would meet in a room about as big as this room where I am now, my living room in Ukraine, and we sat around one table and all working, and it was in the basement of a church, and that let us use the building. And now it's this, we have a big base, and it's not about the size, but it's like it is the growth since 2020 till now is only the Lord. Like that's all I can say, is it's the Lord. And now it's Awakening Church, and there's a school, and whilst doing mass evangelism, there's so much going on. And now the team is about 100 people, and so many people that I don't even know all their names. So
Wow.
yeah,
Grown
it's
as.
crazy. So that's probably a little bit more detail than what I needed to share, but it's fun. It's fun to reflect on.
Well, it is Awakening Europe, so that's big. Just the title of it is big. So let's talk about that a little bit. The million month. So friends, we're at the beginning of the show, I talked about how we're doing 100K harvest, which is 100,000 Canadians hearing the gospel over the course of a year here in Canada. Well, it actually started in April, so going to the end of the year, and we're doing that in 25 cities. We actually just got another city, so now 26 cities. But this was actually a shared vision that our executive director was very encouraged by Ben Fitz and what's going on with you guys over there in Europe, which is the million month, which is 25 cities, correct? Across Europe.
This is correct, but it has grown, Todd, now to 30 cities,
Amen. Praise God. That's so good.
which is a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So just give that a little plug, and we're going to put some information in the notes, friends, for those watching and listening, of where you can see some more information about what's going on with this. But it's the million months. So the vision of seeing 1 million Europeans have a face to face, hear the gospel face to face in the month.
That's correct. Yeah. So it's in 30 cities, and it's happening simultaneously. So from June 21st to July 6th. And yeah, it's a big vision. We have a big God, and It's really exciting, and I'm leading the Kyiv City, the outreach here, and overseeing it. And yeah, we're really excited and to see what God is doing already. So, as you would know, there's a lot of work that goes in behind the scenes with these types of things, and really are hard. And the team from Awakening Europe and the Million Month executive team, their heart is really to work with the local churches and ministries that we would unite together to in the preaching of the gospel. And it's also a strong emphasis on discipleship. We really don't just when we don't just want to share the gospel, we actually want to see people come to Jesus and then be disciples. So there was also like Disciple the City have created similar. We've created an app with that a web app where gospel shares are counted, so we can track because every person matters, every gospel share matters. And on that web app, there's also a database where all the churches that have registered for each city, their details are in the app. So people can get connected with local churches. We have follow-up system in place. So here in Ukraine, there's a discipleship team. And so every person that makes a decision to follow Jesus will enter in their information also in this app. They will get a phone call from somebody. And within days and weeks after, depending on how many people there are, we hope there's many, but yes, they will get a call and really just to follow up to help them get connected, or if they are connected to church, be able to give some encouragement, pray for them. So we're really invested in this, that it would be something that will be fruitful for in that fruit that remains, and that it would be the local churches and the Christians here that would be here and journey the next steps with the new believers. And just a side note, the churches and ministries here in Ukraine are doing a phenomenal job already evangelizing and helping. The world knows that Ukraine is fighting a war, and but in the midst of that, there is, I believe, the beginnings of a revival, and there are so many people coming to Christ. I've talked with pastors, and their churches have multiplied so much since the war because, yeah, people's foundations are shaken, and they're turning to God. And so God really turns it, yeah, he really has turned this situation around in the sense that the reality of heaven and hell and life or death is on people's minds. And yeah, a lot more here than any other place that I've lived in and anywhere else in Europe. And just on that, I realized after living here for 2.5, oh, sorry, just over 2 years, coming up to yeah, doesn't matter. Just over 2 years I've been here, and I realize that the worst thing in the world is not for somebody to live through a war, but it's to live without Jesus, and even worse, to die without Jesus. And we live in the West, and in lots of, for example, I can speak for Australia because it's my country, my people. We have this false sense of peace and security, and we're this sheltered continent with no bordering countries, no threat of war. And at the moment anyway. And so so yeah, we're good. We don't need God. Like you only need God when things get hard and we're not thinking about death. If you went up to an Australian and said, "Hey, if you were to die tomorrow, where would you go?" That could be really offensive and rude. But in Ukraine, this is really on people's mind. People go to sleep here every night, not knowing if it will be their last night. And so it really is a window of time over Ukraine that we have to preach the gospel. And I not just in Ukraine, but for all of Europe. And there are a lot of cities and that we were on a call the other night with all the city directors, and testimony after testimony of churches within cities that have where there's been so much division and challenges, have they're now there's been huge breakthrough and they're uniting and they're seeing God is shifting things in not just the I believe to prepare for the harvest, that it's he's doing things in the churches, breaking down the religious structures and yeah, really destroying the religious spirit to make a way for this for unity. That many people, when there is this harvest of people coming to Christ, that they would be ready. And yeah, God loves Europe. He loves us all. He loves every country, every person. Yes, it's very unique, a million month, and it is historic in I think just logistically, it's historic, and I believe in it for eternity will also be. We will see the full impact. And just a side note, last thing on that is that there will be a documentary coming from Million Month. So stay tuned for that. I don't know where it will show up, hopefully on Netflix. That would be really cool. But yeah, the world will be able to see what God does in this time.
Yeah, that's awesome. And yeah, you can see awakeningeurope.com is the website. I want to ask you a little bit about the Ukraine, but also because, and specifically because here in Canada, we it's similar to Australia about, threats and stuff. So same thing with that question that you posed if you ask an Australian. And here, it's hard to find the truth here. I was digging deeper into your Facebook page today, and a few days ago, you got to share about the Million Month on Australian radio. And of course, I can't see your post because here in Canada, the government controls the social media. So anything that is like a news media or a newspaper article or whatever that somebody posts on social media, we're not allowed to see it. So I can't
Yeah.
see that article. And so all that to say is it's state-funded media, so we don't really know. I'm sure we don't really know the truth of what's going on there. And not to get into the political side of it, but just your life, Rachel. Like you grew up with that. Your parents split, so that tension as a kid, and then going to Europe, which God sent you to Europe and it was all good, but just that, the language and the things that you described of being there, it's not your home, and the language and the adjustment to that culture and everything. And now you're in the Ukraine, so in a place that's, in a war. So what brought you there? Obviously the Lord, but what was your direction that brought you there, and what is that like? Living in what you're describing of going to bed at night. You're in Kyiv, is that correct?
Yes.
So what brought you there, and what is that like being there in that situation right now?
First of all, that's crazy that you cannot see articles in Canada. I didn't realize that. Wow,
We can't
maybe I
see it
should
on social media. You can watch
social
news
media.
and you can access websites. but it's like you posted a news article, it's blocked.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds like China. That's wow. Hopefully I don't get in trouble for saying that on the internet.
we're just speaking truths, right?
Yeah. So the beginning of the war were I was in Germany, and Pastor Ben sent out a message. It was within days of when the full scale invasion happened, and he said, "Hey, I'm taking a team of people to the border of Poland and Ukraine to minister to the refugees or the people fleeing from the war, and we want to help. We want to do something." So he said, "We're taking six people." I still remember, and my first thought, I didn't even pray. I'm going. And I thought, well, I better pray. And then actually God said to me very clearly, stay and pray. So I stayed and organized some nightly prayer meetings at church. Then I went the following week, and with God's blessing, with the blessing of my leaders. And that's where really it began for me. And I say it like this, it was like a piece of my heart was pulled out and left in Ukraine. I didn't want to leave. I wanted to stay at the border. And also we were on the other side of the border. So there is one place that I'm aware of that you can walk across the border from Ukraine to Poland. And this was, it was in, you imagine this, it was in winter. It was, I don't want to exaggerate, but it was a very, very long, perhaps a kilometer long. There was cars. It took people days to cross the border. Some people even died because it was so cold. So six people also turned into hundreds and hundreds of people. So Awakening Europe collaborated with Christ for All Nations, Flame of Fire Ministry, and all different ministries from all across the world. And there was a big call out to people to come and share the gospel, to come and help practically. We had thousands and thousands of Bibles handed out to people. We pray for people. There was Awakening Europe and Christ for All Nations team were the first people on the other side of the border, the Ukraine side, to set up food and soup for the people. And some of these people, they traveled also for days just to get there. And there was so much uncertainty. And there was some backlash for that because people, you know, from media, you know, these Christians, like soliciting to vulnerable people. And this is such a twisted view of things, because it's actually there were people that were crying with, that touched by the Holy Spirit and so thankful to be hearing this message of hope. And even some of those people ended up in our church in Germany. And there were people that really met Jesus. I don't know how many thousands, but it's in the thousands and thousands of people that heard the gospel, that crossing that border. And that ministry went on until about May. And anyway, so that's really where things changed for me. And I went back to Ukraine I was there three times in 2022. And then it was in June 2022 when I was here. And I just had this thought, why don't I move here? I could just live here. And I'd also at that point applied for a Christ for Nations evangelism boot camp and been accepted. And so I was essentially leaving Awakening Europe to go to CFAN boot camp. And yeah, God had other God's plans. His ways are different to ours, and I never saw any of this coming, but I felt this shift in my calling, in the sense God calling me more into evangelism and to really step out in that. And then he confirmed very clearly to move to Ukraine. And so I moved here 9 months after that, really clear confirmation from God. And my leaders also like, yeah, we bless you, and they're amazing. They blessed me and sent me out to go to CFAN, and then I came back, and then they sent me as a missionary. This is Pastor Ben, and others, my other senior leaders sent me here as a missionary. So, what's it like to live here? It's hard. It's very hard, and I travel. Every few months, I try to at least to go back to Germany to have a rest and to be in, with the team there in the church with my friends in peaceful country. But at the same time, it's as hard, it's also beautiful. Ukraine is an incredible country. The people are amazing, so kind, hospitable, warm, open. And yeah, I have said this and I truly mean this, that if there was not a war here and if I could speak Ukrainian, I would live here. I really, really love it. So I think lastly on that, I shared this the other day on my Instagram page, that I'd heard of these stories where missionaries, they get marked for a country and something really supernatural happens in their heart, and they just know that they're called and they have this burden, but this love for a nation or a people group. And I would hear these stories and think, wow, that's amazing. I didn't understand until it happened to me. And then I was, wow, I've never loved a people group, even my own country, like sorry, I not loved it, yeah, a country more than I love Ukraine. And it is supernatural. It is from God, and it is like Paul says, a Christ's love compels us. And I couldn't be here if it wasn't for this vision, this supernatural love and power from the Holy Spirit. And even with that, it's still hard. I lived through the air raids with the Ukrainians. I'm not in this little bubble where I'm not affected by things. It really does affect me psychologically and physically. Yeah, it has an effect, and I cannot imagine how people have lived through this in places that are worse than Kyiv. It's very difficult. So yes, Ukraine needs our prayers. And for the people who think this is some kind of fake war or whatever, it's the Christians should, we shouldn't think about the war because it's political. This is nonsense. It's really, it is real what is happening here in Ukraine. And people are dying and people are suffering. And it's so important that there are people here sharing the gospel and bringing the light of Christ in the midst of the darkness.
Yeah, it is terrible. It whole thing just right, like just all of it. It just needs Jesus.
Yeah.
All around.
Yes, it totally does. And it's an oversimplification, but it's true that sin is the issue and Jesus the answer. Yeah. And, you know, we and I will often share this when I'm evangelizing one-on-one here in Ukraine, that the war can end, you know, if we don't have Jesus, then you are always at war on the inside, and you can have peace in your country, and but you can be in a war with sin, with darkness. But you can, on the flip side, you, when we have Jesus, we have that peace and that freedom from sin and hope of eternal life and a relationship with Him that really can allow us to sleep in the storm. And I have slept through I slept through crazy things here where there's been explosions just outside my windows where I'm looking out now, like up in the sky, that is. And but I've also been awake and in my hallway and really scared and praying. And both times I encountered God. So God encountered us in the pain, in the suffering, and also in the peaceful times too.
That's heavy.
Yeah, it I cannot make it sound nice, Todd. I have to be honest.
Yeah, 100%. Right. It's just a heavy thing that we can't even imagine. And you know what? I remember as you were describing the story of going to the border at Poland, I remember watching that on social media with you guys and that road that you're talking about. And even that doesn't do it justice to actually being boots on the ground, you know, and seeing stuff. And so.
Yeah, it's really. I think it's hard not to cry, but I think all of this and it's not a life that I chose for myself. Really, I say I chose Jesus, and he chose his. And it's really an honor that we, all of us, have the privilege to share the gospel with the world around us, and whether we're an evangelist or not, we're all called to share the gospel. And but for me, on a personal note, this, even though at the moment my soul is crushed and from under the weight of the brokenness and the pain and suffering that I've both seen and experienced in the past 2 years or two, yeah, since the war started, just, you know, you're hearing also the stories of people and and you see the people in the streets with missing limbs, and it's terrible. It's everywhere. You see it and hear of it. And but in all of that, what I'm trying to say is that I've encountered God in a deeper place than I perhaps would have if I had stayed in my home, in my cute little apartment in Germany, and gone through my routine. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having security and comfort in that sense, but the best place for us to be is in the will of God. And it's taught me a lot about suffering and how He's so near. He is so near and close to the brokenhearted, and He is the healer. He is the healer of our, not just our body, but our emotions, of our mind. And there is no pain too deep for Jesus to heal. And I'm so thankful to him for to be able to experience this part of him, this side of him.
I'm getting all choked up too, so I just got to end this differently, because this is just, it's very deep and very real and raw. So Rachel, just thank you for sharing your testimony. Thank you for answering the call of the Lord and putting yourself in the position that you are. And you know, as a ministry, we just pray for you, for your safety, and that you can reach these people that the Lord has, you know, put your heart on for them. And, you know, like, politically people look at things and whatever and stuff like that, but the reality of what God sees on both sides is just lost people. And like you say, the war can be over, but the war's still on the inside. So we just bless you, Rachel. Thank you so much for sharing with us today.
Thank you for having me, God. It's been an honor.